Jeff and Eric are best friends, as only two film critics could be. They bonded over movies and the Portland rain. It's the kind of romance only seen on TV. Then one day Jeff had to move away to far off San Diego, where it's sunny every day. Eric had to cry, he said, why oh why? We have to find a way to make sure our friendship doesn't die. We'll have a long distance relationship, the kind you see on TV, so you know it's legit. We'll watch our movies alone and then we'll meet online, record ourselves a podcast and everything will be fine. Now we have Movie BS with Eric D. Snyder and Jeff Mayer. It's Movie BS. These critics are best friends forever.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Baron Snyder. I am your host, Jeff Baer. Along with me, co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hey, I'm Eric D. Snyder. That's Jeff Baer. We're the hosts of Movie BS with Baer and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast. We should update people. Last week on the show, in this segment of the show, this is the blathering part of the show. Last week in this part of the show, we mentioned that it was going to be very hot in Portland. And I want to update people that we were able to talk them down temperature-wise. It was going to be it was going to crack 100. It's going to be in the hundreds.
106, I saw.
Yeah, it said that at one point. No, we managed to talk them down. It may hit 100 at some point this weekend, but we went from several days of 100 to just it's going to be in the 90s, which is much, much better because that's lower.
Does it all feel bearable?
It's okay here because I've got the unit in my window to keep things cool. So it's tolerable. If you don't have some kind of air conditioner, then no, it's miserable.
All right. So for San Diego, I have yet to turn on our air conditioner.
Right.
But it is humid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not getting crisp at all in the evenings.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Because you look forward to those crisp evenings.
That's all you care about.
SD. Yeah.
You get those more often in Portland, mm-hmm. The crisp evening.
I like our crisp evenings up here.
Yeah. All right, that's the weather.
Yep. And now on to the trouble report. Trouble the cat after
trouble
one
week. Trouble
the cat. Still alive. Still alive. Mike's big, I don't think I told you this, Mike's major concern about Trouble when he left was that I not let Trouble out of the house. Trouble cannot go outside at all, ever. I don't know if she's like a vampire. I don't know what the issue is with going outside.
Have you proved this wrong?
No, I figure Mike's known her for 15 years. I'll take his word for it if he says she can't go outside. Fortunately, she's not one of those cats that's always trying to bolt. She's not making a break for it every time I open the door, fortunately. So it's not hard keeping her from going outside. And that's kind of the only thing Mike cared about, so I feel like I'm doing great.
Can you do me a favor, and next time you talk to Mike, be really enthusiastically happy about the fact that you got Trouble a leash? just see what he says.
Okay, Trouble for walks. I actually thought about that.
Yeah.
Because she does look longingly out the window sometimes, and I think, you know, I should take her for a walk. Let her see what it's like out there.
You will quickly learn that, well, the majority of cats do not want to be on a leash outside.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah. I don't think. I will try that.
It will be a lot of dragging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I'm fine with just leaving her inside. I guess that's what she's used to.
Speaking of what we're used to, here's another Terminator movie.
Hey, no, we have an iTunes review first.
As always, we do an iTunes review before we get to the movies, and away you go.
This is an iTunes review. There's two. One is very brief. It's from Ampersand Outdoorsy. And he or she says, no better reviewers anywhere. Shortened to
is
the point.
Is that Outdoorsy with a Z?
No.
It's a missed opportunity.
And then here's one from Erkpow. Erkpow, E-R-K, capital P-O-W. Erkpow, he or she says this. I love listening to Movie BS. Since I have a toddler and take lots of walks per his request, I've listened to a lot of movie podcasts in the last 2 years. Your podcast is by far my favorite. You're not movie snobs like most reviewers. You actually sound like two people having a real conversation about movies. See, I told you we were fooling them. I told you they couldn't tell it was scripted.
That's right, that's right.
Plus, your digs on each other are hard not to laugh at. Being the movie lover that I am, I really enjoy your podcast. Please don't stop Movie BS anytime soon, or I'll be forced to listen to the movie snobs. Thank you, Irk Pow. If that is your real name.
Thank you very much. And anyone can participate in the fun by writing us an iTunes review. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly Eric will put on his old-time radio voice and read it on the show.
And your life will be complete. Think of how great that'll be.
You'll be able to, when you're listening, like at the gym or in your car, you'll be able to point to yourself and look around to see if anybody notices that it's all about you right now. I'm hearing about me, guys, in my headphones.
You hearing this? Yeah. Now, speaking of hot garbage.
Terminator Genesis.
This is, top of your head, how many Terminator movies is this?
Well, I know. Okay. I know. This is number 5.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't think of what the third one was called for a while.
Rise of the Machines.
Yeah, that's the one. I could remember Salvation. I could not remember Rise of the Machines.
So I remember Rise of the Machines better than Salvation. I remember who was in Salvation. I think it was Christian Bale and Sam Worthington.
Mm-hmm. Sam Worthington.
And that's it. I cannot remember anything else about Salvation. Rise of the Machines.
Rise of the Machines was an okay movie. I liked Rise of the Machines.
This is how I feel. But I remember there was hatred toward that movie when it came out.
There was.
I think mainly because Terminator 2 is considered one of the best sequels, one of the best sci-fi movies ever.
Yeah.
And it just didn't live up to that. But if I remember correctly, with Rise of the Machines, I very much liked the car chase sequence, which didn't have any CGI and was just massive destruction.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I liked the ending. I was a little surprised at the ending. Like, it was a little bit dark as far as the victory that was achieved at the end of Rise of the Machines.
I, of course, do not remember how the movie ends.
I know.
It came out 12 years ago, in my defense.
Understood. So, but what we have here is, oh my goodness. So this is a sidequel, alternative timeline sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of going back and tampering with the timeline of the other films.
Right. So what you have at the beginning is pretty much a recreation of Terminator, of the beginning of Terminator, but you're seeing more aspects of it. So you're seeing John Reese and what's his name? Sarah Connor's kid. Jeez, John Connor.
Yeah.
You're seeing those two fight in a war against the machines. And none of that looks interesting. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's like, okay, there's machines and they're battling and they're shooting and things are blowing up.
And
okay.
Kyle Reese is narrating, sort of catching us up on the basic premise here. And this is all in the future. This is in 2029.
Yes.
And then
we go to 84. Because that's where Kyle Reese originally goes.
Right. Everyone remembers Kyle Reese. Kyle Reese is now played by Jay Courtney, by the way.
Should we just stop and talk about that for a little bit?
Well, Jay Courtney is one of those guys. This Jay Courtney is proof of the old cynical adage that you really don't have to be talented to get movie roles. You just have to have a pretty face. Because he's probably our handsomest bad actor. But he's fallen just backwards into Jack Reacher and one of the Die Hard movies and Divergent. He was in Unbroken, I, Frankenstein. Like, he's been in these movies, some of them fairly high profile, despite not being any good.
Yeah, a lot of them high profile.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been good yet.
No, I don't think he's going to be good. I think we know what he is.
He even got in a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Captain Boomerang, whatever that means.
Sure. Yeah. Good for him, probably.
It's amazing because what I'm realizing now for me, I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, he's Sam Worthington. But then I stopped because Sam Worthington was good.
Sam Worthington was okay anyway.
He showed us a little something. Do you not think he showed us a little something?
I don't remember ever particularly noticing that he had shown us anything. But Worthington was just sort of bland and forgettable. And I feel like Jay Courtney is worse, but handsomer. So he's got that going for him.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
So I need so much less Jay Courtney in my life.
I agree. But so he's Kyle Reese. So he goes back in time to 1984 to save Sarah Connor. You all know that story because you've seen Terminator.
Right.
Only now it's different because there's also been another twist. They went back and altered the timeline another way so that the events of Terminator in 1984 are now skewed.
And here was my thing. So now, once that skewing started,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, hang on, what? Catch me up here. What? The movie doesn't want to do that. The movie wants to leave mystery as far as why there's another skewed timeline.
Well, they do tell us.
And
eventually. Because
they don't say why. They don't say the why. They say what happens, but they don't say why it happens.
About when Sarah was 9 years old or whatever.
Nine years old, right. Yeah. They say what happens, but they don't say why it happens, and they don't solve that mystery. That is supposed to be how this story and franchise right. can possibly continue, because there's mysteries.
That's
still
true.
They don't
tell us who right. did that thing. That's true. yeah.
Okay, so anyway.
Someone who wanted Sarah Connor to stay alive, which, you know,
right.
knows
it down. For some time, for a second, I was just like, oh, hang on. Is this that TV show I never watched? Is this Sarah Connor Chronicles? Is that that's what's going on here?
Oh, maybe.
Like, they're talking about that? And then I was like, wait, no. Arnold Schwarzenegger never did that.
Yeah, he was never on that show.
Be. But it was just this thing of like, it was a mashup video game where you get to choose your character. Like, what do you want to see? Do you want to see the young Terminator, the old Terminator, the T-100, the T-1000, the T-800? What do you want to do? What do you want to see?
I'm going to be Luigi.
And that's all it feels like for a while.
It also feels like fan fiction. Like someone said, totally, I'm going to write my own story, but set in the Terminator universe.
And Michael Bay in Terminator.
What? Who?
What?
Michael
in the
Bay?
Original Terminator.
Michael Bay.
Oh, wait, how do you say his last name?
Who are you talking about?
In the original Terminator.
Oh,
who played Kyle Reese?
Oh, the actor. I thought you were saying Michael Bay, the director.
Oh, no.
Michael, what was his name? Bean? Beale? Bean?
Is it Bean? Bean doesn't sound right.
Keep talking.
Okay.
The guy who played Kyle Reese.
Guy who played Kyle Reese. So sorry, guys. He had grit. Like, he was from Hard Knocks times. Like, he was always looked sweaty and disheveled in Terminator.
Yeah.
And Jay Courtney's Michael – or Kyle Reese is just so whitewashed. He's just a soldier. That's all he is.
Very, very generic soldier.
And we're supposed to be following him. And then it's like, oh, maybe not. Maybe we're supposed to be following Sarah Connor. Maybe that's our through character. And Sarah Connor is played by Game of Thrones. Amelia Clark.
I assume she was on Game of Thrones because I didn't recognize her.
That's right. And here she's kind of she's an accidental spitfire who doesn't translate at all to the – like, and it makes sense because it's a different Sarah Connor, but it doesn't translate all to Linda Hamilton's like badass.
No, not at all. No. We sort of have to give up all memories of the other versions
right.
of these characters.
So, yes. So it's almost like we're just seeing a sassy young, maybe teenager, maybe 20-something, Sarah Connor, and this bland soldier. Mm-hmm. And then we got Pops, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger. They could have said it more. They could have said Pops more, and they could have said Skynet more. But if they had, I probably would have done something bad. Just it was insanely repetitive. Skynet, Genesis, and Pops were just said way too much for me here.
All right. Schwarzenegger, and everyone has wondered, well, how is why does the Terminator look older? Why is he older? And they
Perfect.
Do they do address. Yeah, that's fine. It was funny because they say, well, because the human tissue they use over the machine, it ages like regular human tissue. And I was there with my friend Andy. And when they said that, he and I both turned to each other and said, because we both were waiting for that explanation. Like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So he's around now, and he does face off with the the young version of himself, and yeah.
I was surprised that every time Arnold was doing Arnold stuff, I was enjoying it.
I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. He just has such a nice presence. You just like watching him. Yeah,
and the problem is
even in a crappy movie like this one.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's in it all that much. Because it does really feel like they're trying to hammer home the idea that this is all about Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor.
And people know that what's going to happen is Kyle is going to have sex with Sarah Connor, and that's where John Connor comes from.
Yeah.
And so the movie keeps referring to that, how that is their destiny to finally mate. And it keeps doing a little dumb, almost romantic comedy snark.
Yep.
Like playful banter, and it's so bad.
And not only that, it just they'll get along for half their conversation, and it's almost like a buzzer goes off, and then they start nitpicking at each other.
Right.
And honestly, it could have just been Charlie Brown adults talking the entire time. No conversation that they have is purposeful.
Yeah.
There's no detail that is revealed that is really necessary, except for when, you know, they're talking about the visions. But of course, that's not the banter we're referring to.
No,
here.
The banter is just dumb person.
Just
stuff.
Dumb banter. You know who we haven't even mentioned? We haven't even mentioned John Connor, Jason Clarke. Does he do a worse job than Jay Courtney or a better job than Jay Courtney?
He's better, I think, because he has more personality.
I think he has more personality as the character, and I thought he had a lot more personality as an actor. But, like, this wasn't a good role.
No, not especially.
So he's in it, too. It's almost one of those things where we're starting to it's imploding onto itself, this Terminator franchise, to where they keep digging in more and it gets more convoluted and more purposeless.
You can only alter the, like, if you have, you got a pair of pants and you keep altering it and cutting it up and rehemming it and adding things to it, you can only do that so many times before the whole thing just falls apart and disintegrates and you have to start over. And that's what's happening here. They've done so much damage to this now.
They keep trying to figure out how to get a franchise going again. Like, that's what they did with Salvation.
Yeah.
Salvation was supposed to be the start of something new.
Right.
It didn't work. And now Genesis is clearly supposed to be the start of something new. And when it ends, it's just like, oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
Really? You're going to continue on this path with these characters?
No, you are not.
And the only thing that could – a good that could come of it would be a recasting of Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese and then keep Arnold in it. But again – I do not need that.
No, nobody needs that.
So yeah, some of the action's good. Arnold's really good. But
J.K. Simmons is good as an L.A. cop.
Oh gosh, yes.
J.K. Simmons is the one bright spot. I would be happy to see a movie just about J.K. Simmons' character having encountered the Terminator in 1984, and then no one believes him or whatever. For
30 years.
Yeah.
But he's still a high-functioning officer.
Mm-hmm. And a high-functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, that's true. That's
damn true. Time-traveling robots covering their tracks.
there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo. What did you – I couldn't believe they actually used the Bad Boys, the Cops theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe they had the audacity
to think
that would be fun.
They get arrested and they always see mugshots and that. And, yeah, what –
What a load of hooey.
Hooey, that's exactly what it is. Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who knew that I would be in need of Arnold doing this role again?
I
just wish it could have been better. It's a 5 out of 10. It's blatantly a super average action science fiction movie.
C-, I give it.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Jay Courtney. Jay Courtney. Goodness. What a waste.
The other movie that's open now. These both open on Wednesday, so maybe you've already seen them, you people listening. Magic Mike XXL. XXL.
Mm-hmm. It's a sequel.
Mm-hmm. And as the title implies, it is bigger than the first Magic Mike in the sense that it's 5 minutes longer. Everything else about it is less than the first movie.
What?
It's less interesting, less funny. There's less story.
Whoa! What?
There's less nudity. There's less funny dialogue. Less everything.
What?
I know. We disagree on this. It's been implied. No, I did not enjoy this movie. By and large, I did not enjoy this movie.
Is it? Oh, all right. Let's. All right. So here's what happened.
Mm-hmm. It's been 3 years.
It's been 3 years, and Mike is working on his own, doing the whole furniture company thing, restoration furniture, looking good at it. And he's got one employee, but he can't even afford him health care. And you know, it's hard. It's hard work.
Sure.
And the boys let him know. They are heading to Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for the big annual convention of strippers.
Matthew McConaughey's character gone, so they don't have a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But they think it'd be pretty cool if Mike got on board and went for one last ride.
And Mike, you know, he's got a business, and he's left the stripping. Okay, I'll go. He decides.
You know what Mike needs in his life?
Hmm.
Fun.
Sure.
That's what he needs. He needs, because you know what? Somebody might have recently broke his heart. And
maybe.
That hurts. Mm-hmm. That hurts deep inside. And sometimes you just got to get up and dance and figure everything out later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So get together with the boys that you really like and just go.
So the fellas have got this road trip from Florida up to South Carolina. And they're going to this stripper convention.
Now, hang on a second.
Hmm. What?
Who's a really big guy?
Joe Manganiello.
Yeah, his name is Big Dick Richie.
Sure. Or just Richie.
He wants to make sure that everybody knows they're referred to as, isn't it male entertainers?
Yes, male entertainers.
Okay. So they're not strippers. They're male entertainers.
Sure. Actually, no, I know. Yeah.
And
female strippers are not strippers. They're exotic dancers. I know.
Well, oh, no. I'm just talking about this group.
Yeah,
This isn't a big broad stroke on the state of our social viewpoints of men and women and anything else like that. This is just a standalone movie where if you want to have fun,
mm-hmm.
This is a fun movie.
Except, counterpoint, it's not.
So they here's what happens. They
here's,
literally
here's what
on.
Happens. Nothing.
What did you want to happen? What do
I
you
want
think
a story.
Audience
okay,
wants?
There are no. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Okay, here's the first thing the audience wants, probably in a movie about strippers, especially the way this one's marketed, which I know is not the movie's fault. The trailer, everything plays it up like this is a movie about strippers. Come see some hot strippers stripping. So that's kind of what draws people in. And then, but if it's not about that, that's fine. Raiders of the Lost Ark is about an archaeology professor. We hardly ever see him doing archaeology professing, but that's fine. Because we see them doing other things that are entertaining instead. So fine, they're not going to be taking off their clothes much. And so instead, it's a story where there's no conflict. There's no... none of the characters are any different at the end of the movie than they were at the beginning. No one learns or grows or changes anything.
No, that's not true at all.
Richie finds a girlfriend.
It's totally wrong.
Who? Who changes?
Did you not see their final dances?
What?
They are no longer machines programmed by Matthew McConaughey world.
So now they dance to different songs now.
They've
That's the character arc.
They've embraced who they are. They are proud of who they are.
Who are they that's different? All that's different is they're dancing to different songs. That's not a character arc.
Songs that they've chosen that represent their personalities.
Stop. See, you agree with me. So nobody changes.
No, I am not agreeing with you.
Dancing to different songs is not a character arc.
I wrote down no stakes and put a smiley face next to it.
Yeah, I know. And I've heard many people say that that's one of the things they like is there's no stakes. Because also I want to mention this is a stripper convention, not a competition. So it doesn't even matter how well they do when they perform.
But you know who it matters to?
Who?
the audience, to them, and to us, the actual audience in the theater. It
not
matters.
To me. It, not to me, it didn't. And I don't find... Here's the problem. I don't find the characters by themselves very interesting. And so when they're not doing interesting things, when they're just hanging around in the car being bros or stopping off various places to flirt with Jada Pinkett Smith and Andie MacDowell and stuff, I mean, it's fine. And some of the dances they do some of the sequences are kind of funny. There's a fun sexiness, like the one where Joe Ritchie is trying to get the convenience store clerk to smile by dancing in the 7-Eleven or whatever. That's funny.
Okay, good. I'm glad you liked that. I was shocked that I liked that.
But just overall, the whole thing just feels... And it feels too long because it's so directionless and nothing's happening and there's no stakes and there's no story and there's no plot. And I get how if you enjoy just hanging out with these guys, then it would be a fun movie. Apparently, I don't enjoy just hanging out with these guys. I just don't find them interesting.
That is so surprising. It's not necessarily interesting. It's the idea of enjoyable. Or fun, or even relaxing. These are the things that I felt while watching this movie. I really thought, okay, so Richie's dance in the concession store. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you liked that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fantastic because I saw that, 3 seconds in the trailer when I accidentally noticed it at some point. And I was just like, there's no way that is working in this movie. That's immediately how I thought. And I felt happy for him. I felt happy for these guys when they were discovering a little bit, just a little bit more about them. And that's what it is. And it's also just like guys who are really comfortable with their sexuality and what they do. And yes, it is absolutely over the top, almost superhero-like how male entertainers are viewed in this movie. Like, in other words, they are healers. They are prophets for pleasure. They are all these things because they truly understand how to make a woman feel wanted. Mm-hmm. But in those broad strokes, they speak some truth as far as like, yes, pay attention to the woman you're with. That's a nice thing to do. Give her eye contact. That's a nice thing to do. And the stupid people that will see this movie hopefully can learn that really basic lesson in life because they haven't done it up until this point. So definitely, maybe stupid people will learn, and that's nice.
Well, maybe that'll be nice. I hope that happens. It definitely panders to women.
Oh, my gosh.
Over and over again. Over and over again. You got Jada Pinkett Smith saying, you're all beautiful queens. Beautiful queens who deserve to feel special. And the women in the movie, they made sure that they look like regular women, by which I mean, dumpy and overweight. Like they want to let everyone know everyone is a beautiful queen who deserves to feel attractive.
Some of them are still – I actually – Jada Pinkett Smith was my least favorite part of this movie. When she is holding a microphone, I found that painful because it's just showmanship. Without purpose and without real emotion. And I actually feel like I was getting to know Mike better in hanging out with this movie. I honestly feel that way. Like when he's talking to Amber Heard's character, whatever her name is. I love Amber Heard, by the way. But when he's like hanging out with her, I'm just like, yeah, he's got a little bit of a broken heart and he's trying to repair it. And it's just like, let's just have a good time. Yeah. And it all works. And that makes sense. And, Even the addition of I wasn't thrilled with what's his name from Community?
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover's character, but it was just kind of nice to have him along for the ride, and that's how it all kept feeling.
Yeah, always nice to see him.
The adventures are good. I spent too much time with Jada Pinkett Smith at whatever that place is, her like sanctuary.
Her sort of brothel / dance house.
That shifts the tone for me. I thought it was hilarious when they were on Molly. And by the way,
funny. Yeah, they're on Molly.
I'm learning so much about Molly from movies lately.
Right, right.
Yes, like because nobody talks about Molly in my life, so I'm only learning about Molly from the movies.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that.
But yeah, Andie MacDowell is like the first time I've liked her in a long time in a movie.
Yeah, she's nice.
And so it all works. It does feel a little bit long in the sense of with Jada Pinkett Smith. And I was surprised at the end. For a while, I thought the end was going to be that they got to Myrtle Beach and realized, oh, it's the journey that mattered, and they're not even going to show us the final dances. For some reason, I thought that might happen. Oh. Only because it was like, well, isn't it about time that we wrap this up?
Yeah.
That's how it feels. But then the final dances, I really enjoyed them, and they're talented.
Oh, they're great dancers. Channing Tatum is a very Channing agile Tatum dancer. He's amazing.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
At dancing.
Absolutely. He is
and,
a,
and, it, and it made.
As an actor, he's a terrific dancer.
This is such a wheelhouse because of his past that is just like, yeah, he knows what he's doing with this Mike character. To me, this felt like that Magic Mike might have some sort of chance to become of a Fast and the Furious type franchise where
they'll do way too many of them and overstay their welcome and people will wildly overpraise them. Starting out sort of doing it kind of ironically and then eventually growing to actually love them? Is that what you're hoping
yes.
for? Okay.
That's not what I'm hoping for. That's what I can actually see with this. Yeah. And like, honestly, in two more years, if like Channing Tatum's like, all right, I got to do it again, then I think I'm going to be okay with it. Because this one really, I thought it had a clever tone. I thought there was a ton of good throwaway lines instead of pointless dialogue, which I'm always a big fan of. It just occasionally overstays its welcome. And Kevin Nash is some sort of weird zombie creature where less is more with him, and they play on that a few times. But, yeah, it's a weird one.
He looks like Mickey Rourke before whatever happened to Mickey Rourke's face.
Yeah.
Like a pre-industrial accident Mickey Rourke.
I'm hugely a fan of the fact that they reference the fact that he can barely move. Mm-hmm. like that was very necessary because for the first movie, I was just like, oh, come on. The first movie suffers from what's that awful actor's name who's not getting any jobs anymore?
Alex Pettyfer.
Yes, it suffers from him.
Yeah.
That's the first movie's problem.
But the
doesn't have this issue here.
The first movie I liked better, despite Alex Pettyfer, the first movie had – was just a more engaging story that I was more into. And I think with this one, what I've realized is this movie, surprisingly, is not for me. This movie is for straight women because it pats them on the head condescendingly and says, oh, you're all very pretty. Look how pretty you are. Yes, you are. It does that. And it's
and
for,
you don't feel like you're a pretty woman.
I don't. And it's for straight guys who enjoy the broiness of these guys hanging out being bros.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's not for me. I'm not either one of those things. And I think it's just not, you know, I just was not into it. Not into it.
Yeah.
I give it a C.
It's a solid 7 out of 10 for me. If they would have trimmed it just a little bit.
you mean Manscaped it.
Yeah. If they would have made it XL. If they would have saved the XXL for the future.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, no, guys, it is totally worth scoring points with your lady by going along with them for this movie.
And also, to my point about this being for straight guys,
yeah.
You don't have to worry about there being like a lot of male nudity, which was people's concern about the first one. Like, oh, it's a movie about male strippers, it's going to be all full of naked guys. Don't have to worry. Don't worry.
This upsets you, right? You wanted a lot of smacking a lot of women in a lot of faces.
I wanted that necessarily. I wanted some of that. If you hear there's a movie about strippers, female strippers, you're going to expect to see some nudity in that movie, right? Some naked women.
Are you?
And again, it's fine if there's not. If there's then something else instead to be interesting, entertaining, which I don't feel like there is.
Whereas
it is not. It's not merely the absence of nudity that bothers me. It's the absence of nudity with nothing else in its place.
Yeah.
Like if you're not going to show me naked people, then at least entertain me. And vice versa.
Man,
it's a shame. And I know that I'm in the minority here. It's getting mostly good reviews.
It's a fun time.
Not for me. Nope. So the movies for this Independence Day weekend. There's also some other movies you can see that are still around.
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl is the one you should try.
It's a good one you should try to see. And of course, Mad Max. If you haven't seen that yet,
some cities. If you're not from the big city, you might not have that option anymore. But you should really try if it's still playing somewhere and you have not seen it on the big screen. Stop it.
Stop not seeing it.
Yeah.
Go do that.
Do it.
I reckon it's time for the question of the week now. Ain't it?
The question of the week.
We asked you guys to tell us about the time that you squirmed the most in your seat whilst watching a movie. The movie moment that made you squirm the most. And what'd you say? What'd you guys say? Kelly. Kelly says the sex scene in Purple Rain. Here's why. Watched the movie with my friend and her parents in the movie theater. I was 13. Yeah, that'll do it. Not really the scene's fault. The scene itself is not, I wouldn't think, particularly squirm-inducing. But yes, the situation, the circumstances. I can definitely understand the squirming. Yeah.
I don't remember Speed Racer.
Like, apparently. That it exists?
Yeah, or at least this part. Nico says, Speed Racer, when the movie froze and the kid and the chimp popped up and spoke directly to the audience. Speaking directly to the audience always makes me uncomfortable. For some reason, they were wearing doctor outfits.
Do you
remember this?
Vaguely. I did rewatch that movie recently to see if it's good, like some people said it was, and it's not. P.S. That's what I learned. It's not. It's unwatchable. I vaguely remember that. That's funny that any time the characters speak to the audience makes yeah. Nico uncomfortable. What about Ferris Bueller? Like anytime it happens? What if they do it through the whole... What if they do it through the whole movie? Like it's a constant thing through the movie. Is that okay? Or is it just like when they do it just once and that's it?
Does any movie do it more effectively than Ferris Bueller that you can think of?
Ferris Bueller does it pretty well.
It does it pretty well because you're not waiting for it either.
Right.
You're not waiting for it to happen. You're not like, oh, this isn't real.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for him to talk to me, the audience. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang did it really well, but briefly, right?
Yeah. Steve says Hard Candy. If you guys if you haven't seen Hard Candy, it's a good movie. Ellen Page makes.
I haven't seen it.
Patrick Wilson plays perhaps a predator, a pedophile, and Ellen Page seeks to get revenge on him. And there's a moment where she is threatening to castrate him. And I shan't spoil anything for you, but it is definitely a squirmy moment for sure. For obvious reasons.
Our friend Brian gave an answer.
Hey.
In eighth grade, he invited a bunch of friends with him to see a movie for his birthday. Everybody wanted to see Naked Gun.
Good choice.
He decides, no, guys, here's what we should do. We should sneak into an R-rated horror movie instead. And he assured them it'd be way better and super scary. He didn't know anything about it. It was Dead Ringers.
But the title was promising, he says.
Yeah, the title was promising. Mm. Dead Ringers. It was Dead Ringers, a David Cronenberg film about two gynecologists who fell in love with a nymphomaniac. All I could think of the whole time was the phone calls my parents would get once my friends told them what movie they actually saw.
So what happened, Brian? Did you get in trouble? I want to hear the rest of that story now.
Yeah, why is he teasing us? Ugh, does he now want to talk in real life instead of just on the show?
Oh, well, that's fine. Michael says, The Exorcist, but not what you're thinking. About halfway in the movie, when Regan is getting tested by the doctor, the needle in the neck for her blood. I'm not good with needles. That's a common one. A lot of people, and I've seen this a lot. Like it's funny at Fantastic Fest, where it's an audience full of like hardcore gore yeah. hounds and whatever,
yep.
and anything's fine. But you show a close up of someone getting an injection, and people squirm and look away. Yeah, that's a very common one.
Yep. Yeah, it totally is. I was trying to think and I couldn't think of one, but I'm sure it's happened where, like realistic childbirth in a movie, has typically done it to me.
Have you seen a realistic one that was not like actual footage of a real birth? Like, I can't think of one that I've seen
that wasn't actually real. Right? Wasn't there the moment Knocked Up? They showed a moment in Knocked Up that was a little too much
for me.
There was
a glimpse.
Wasn't it that's a crowning? True.
Sort of like, a shock moment of that. Yeah.
That was true. Like a – but like there's – I know that I've seen others and maybe it was TV or whatever, but like with my wife, a doctor, that like – I can't handle that. She has no problem with that whatsoever.
That's her job, yeah.
She can't handle anything gory that's like fictitiously gory, whereas I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
For the most part, except for my answer.
Jeffrey says the Jackass movie, the urine snow cone. I actually gagged.
Anything choice. With the poop or the pee in the Jackass movies is not right for me.
Yeah. Justin says the little bug in Chekhov's ear in Wrath of Khan, famous one.
It's my answer. It's a simple one, but it's my answer. That gave me nightmares.
Ooh, A. Rose McCoy. Any sex scene in Teeth? Did you ever see Teeth?
Nope.
That's a good one.
Could have convinced me that Teeth and Hard Candy were the same movie. But now you can't.
Yeah, Teeth is the one where the girl's got teeth in her vagina. Vagina dentata. That movie does for vaginas what Jaws did for the ocean. Just FYI.
Need a bigger boat? John says 127 hours. Yeah. That one moment, I really like watching that one moment, but it makes me squirm. But it's like, it's a good, like, oh,
the sound of breaking the bone.
Yeah. Why do I want that? Man, that's weird.
Dallas.
Go ahead.
Dallas Neighbors, the movie Hellraiser, not the awful Cenobites, not what they do to people, the part where the dad character catches his hand on a nail while moving a couch upstairs. I can't watch that. Agreed.
Mickey says, I went with my mother to see There's Something About Mary. We laughed a lot, but I really didn't need to see Ben Stiller flog the dolphin with my mom sitting next to me. That was uncomfortable.
I'll bet. And that poor dolphin never saw it coming.
No.
Peter, the propped open eyes scene in Clockwork Orange makes me very uncomfortable. I'm with you on the poop and pee. Well, pee is all right. Poop in movies, I always squirm. Even though it's not real poop.
Whoa, you don't know that.
I do, actually. I do know that it's not real poop. Oh. In almost every case. Except for in Pink Flamingos, where Divine watches a dog poop on the sidewalk, and then she picks up the poop and eats it. That really happens. The John Waters movie, Pink Flamingos. Oh, it's famous for that. Yeah. Yeah, we see her really eat poop. Dog poop. Straight, fresh from the butt. Fresh from the dog's butt. Yeah.
Come on, man.
But other than that, I know it's fake, but still, I have a very hard time watching it. Even as I'm reassuring myself, that's just chocolate or that's chili or whatever they're using for their fake poop.
So is this your overall? You can't point to one particular?
Train spotting is a horrible one for that.
Oh, man.
And even the scene in Slumdog Millionaire where he falls into the outhouse. I know, and it's funny and everything and whatever, but just being covered. It is? It's because even the thought of being covered in chili grosses me out. That's what it is. Even as I accept that it's not poop, whatever it is, it's still gross to me. That's why. What about you?
No, nobody's really brought my aversion to sand to the big screen before.
You're not grossed out by sand, though. You're just annoyed by it.
Oh, but if you just couldn't. Oh, by the way, I heard baby powder.
Baby powder.
If you have sand on your feet, just dump a ton of baby powder and then like start wiping it off and the sand comes off.
I think that's true, but I think it has to be made from fresh ground babies.
Okay, well, I think we're going this weekend to the beach, so okay.
Yeah, you gotta
How many babies do I need?
No, you got it. No, you can get it like at New Season. It's just not the stuff you get. Not the Johnson & Johnson baby powder. You need to get like the real baby powder, the good stuff.
So I don't have to ground the babies.
No.
Oh, somebody else will do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can buy it that way. Just you gotta get the good stuff.
Wait, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But do you have an answer?
Are you of the mindset that they just don't kill enough babies in movies?
In movies and in real life.
Oh. Real babies.
Oh, now it's sad. Now it's sad. Do you have a specific movie for your answer?
I mean, the Star Trek thing really did it to me as a kid.
Yeah.
As far as squirming goes. I don't know. I think that's kind of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
There's got to be... There has to be some horror movie that I've sat through at some film festival that was just all too much for me. I had to look away.
In one movie, I think it was at South by Southwest, but it could have been Fantastic Fest. There's a movie, I saw a woman, a pregnant woman, get stabbed in the gut.
Ooh.
That was hard to see.
Yeah.
That's, you hate to see
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Good times.
I've enjoyed this conversation. Question of the week for next week, in honor of Minions, tell us what animated character or characters should get a spinoff.
So perhaps you have a character you're really fond of from, say, The Lion King. And you think, what is it, Timba and Pumbaa? Or what are their names? Tiki and Timon?
Pumbaa and Timon, yeah.
Yeah. They already had one, so that can't be your answer.
Okay.
I think.
Just, how about one of just the Whoopi Goldberg hyena? Just her. Not the other hyenas. Just her. She's all by herself.
Oh,
and
is she like
she's solving crimes
and then going to solving crimes and then going to like nightclubs comedy shows at night
yeah there in Africa as a hyena. Yes, she goes to hyena nightclubs and tells jokes and solves crimes.
That's a short film.
Oh no, like a franchise. I want like seven of those, like Fast and Furious.
Wow.
So there, for example, that's an example. You guys, let your imaginations run free with your favorite animated characters. Mm-hmm. You can email your answers to us at moviebspdx@gmail.com, and you can post them on Facebook if you want.
Yeah, and you can get to our Facebook page at moviebs.com.
That's true.
And thanks to oneofus.net for once again, putting our show on. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, oneofus.net.
Yep. They have a podcast for just about everything.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
We'll briefly mention the box office update. You had another film last week.
Briefly.
You had Ted 2.
I did.
Made it $33.5 million.
Underperformed.
Mm-hmm. It did.
But if I, now let's see.
$33.5 million is about, that's what your movies, your remaining movies all need to average. If my two remaining movies both perform as expected. So that's right about right. Let's make it, it's a close race at the moment.
Delusional.
I mean, you'll have some that'll make more than that, but you're going to have some that are going to make less than that.
All right, so my sixth place movie beat Eric's sixth place, seventh place, eighth place, and tenth place.
I would say the order in which the movies were chosen is the thing that matters the least when at this point.
Oh, such a fool. Such a fool. I have beaten you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
My second movie beat your first movie.
Yeah, but it hasn't beat my second movie yet. I think it will. I think it will beat Minions.
Probably.
But it technically hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if the gap between my first and your first is bigger than the gap between our seconds. That will be interesting.
Maybe. I don't know if that'll be interesting.
So far, every movie of mine has beaten every movie of yours head-to-head.
But they're not head-to-head is the thing. It doesn't matter what order they come out. It's just you have 10 movies, I have 10 movies.
It matters exactly what order they come out because that's the order we picked.
It doesn't.
Otherwise, we could just randomly be assigned movies.
Right, but it doesn't. Once the movies have been chosen, it doesn't matter what order they were in.
I'm 3 for 3. I'm beating you 3 out of 3 times.
All right.
I'm undefeated right now.
My number 8 movie made about as much money as your number 6. Look at that.
Regardless. Does not matter.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
No. Not yet.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But once my Magic Mike comes out and beats your Tomorrowland, then your point will be moot.
No, my 8th place still will have almost beaten your 6th place. That will still be true.
But it didn't.
For all intents and purposes, Tomorrowland and Ted 2 made the same, had opening weekends. Ted 2 was your number 6, and Tomorrowland was my number 8. And look, they basically did the same. It's my 8 basically beating your 6. These are your rules here, where suddenly it matters what place they are on the list.
Just admit you've lost.
I haven't
admit
lost.
You have no hope.
I definitely, well, I obviously have not lost because it's not over. So how could I admit that? Now, there's no hope. You could make a case for that, but I disagree with you. It could be true that there's no hope, but it's not true. There is hope.
Okay. It'll be nice that we'll get to see one of these together.
That's right. We'll get to watch one of these together in the future.
That's a tease for the coming weeks, mm-hmm. people.
And you have Terminator and Magic Mike both this weekend. Both opening
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And I don't get Tuesday night? I don't even get Thursday night in this scenario, do I?
Nope, just Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the risk of choosing Wednesday.
All right, so everybody, Magic Mike is not worth seeing unless you see it on a weekend. Isn't that weird? Like, the movie becomes better if you see it on the weekend with all of your friends.
You know what's weird about these movies now? That in the summer, they all do this now. They open on the Friday, or this week, the Wednesday, but they really open the Thursday night or the Tuesday night.
Yeah, I know.
It's what it is. These movies are trans date. They're trans date. Terminator Genesis opened on June 30th, but it identifies as opening on July 1st. So even though, it really didn't, still it identifies as July 1st. So in the record books, okay, that's a July 1st opening. Even though biologically it was June 30th. And we just need to respect that, and that's fine.
Well, yeah, that's weird because 25 years from now, mm-hmm. when we do all those think pieces mm-hmm. about Terminator Genesis, we'll be putting those out July 1st.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though, technically it was June 30th.
Right.
And that's fine. Just an interesting thing about how biology works. Or something. Let's play a game.
Let's play a game.
You want to play Pitch Me?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that.
Pitch me, pitch me. Now's the time we play Pitch Me. Take a couple actors and we'll put them in a movie. No. Pitch me.
How we play Pitch Me is we each have an actor or actress in mind, and we'll say them, and we'll get a genre from a friend of ours, and we'll make up a movie in that genre. Jeff Barrett, who is your performer?
Sharon Stone.
Mine's Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman?
Yeah.
She's funny.
She is funny and super old. And the genre suggestion we've gotten from our friend Jacob Hall, who writes for Screen Crush and other internet sites, he suggests sci-fi, dystopian, romantic comedy.
Whoa.
So it's like a future dystopia, maybe a post-apocalyptic thing, maybe. Sci-fi, a romantic comedy. I don't see Cloris Leachman and Sharon Stone falling in love with each other.
No, we probably shouldn't. I mean, unless we wanted to do some sort of... what was that really bad Alec Baldwin, Meg Ryan movie? Where, one of them becomes an old person.
Alec Baldwin and Meg Ryan? One of them becomes old?
Wasn't that two of them? Wasn't that?
That doesn't sound familiar. But no, that doesn't sound like a good idea, whatever it is.
And not only that, they're 32 years apart, so let's just make them mother and daughter.
Sure. Wow, that surprises me, that they're only 32 years apart. Because how old is Sharon Stone?
57.
Yeah. See, that's the part that surprises me.
Yeah. Cloris Leachman, 89.
Yeah, that sounds right. All right. So, yeah, mother and daughter, are they fighting over the same man? I was going to say a man that's too young for both of them, like a guy who's like 25.
Okay. Oh, wait. So, wait, what is it? A sci-fi dystopia?
Yeah.
What if it's The Last Man?
Oh, The Last Man. Okay. And it's in the future here. People live longer, so the mom is still... They're both still of childbearing years. Because that would be the reason. If it's The Last Man on Earth, they've got to perpetuate the species.
So the average age is now 140.
Okay. And women can have babies up until they're, 80 or 90.
126. I mean, what's the cutoff now?
Probably Cloris Leachman as an 89-year-old. She can probably play 70. And
yeah.
Sharon Stone won't play 57. She'll play 40 or whatever.
Prelude to a Kiss.
Never saw it.
Oh, it's an odd one. You should watch it.
All right.
It's not that good.
Thanks for the endorsement.
I think Kathy Bates is in it too.
Oh yes, she is. And Ned Beatty, Patty Duke, Stanley Tucci. It's a great cast.
Yeah, you gotta watch it.
So who's the guy? Who should the young guy be? Jay Courtney.
No. Oh no. Of course it's Channing Tatum.
All right, Channing
Tatum. We gotta get butts in the seats.
All right, Channing Tatum, Last Man on Earth.
Yeah. Last Man on Earth. And
mother and daughter fighting over him. What and how we need to incorporate the sci-fi dystopia. They're using these various futuristic gadgets and technologies to fight over the guy. Like one of them, like when Sharon Stone and Channing are on a date, and so Cloris Leachman is using her telepathy jammer to like make Sharon Stone not be able to think of the right words to say or something like that. Those kinds of things, you know?
Yes.
Or so like sending holograms, like sending fake hologram messages to each other in the voice of the other one.
Yes. Good, like good. That. Right. And I mean, now you also, so we don't have to, it's also maybe there's a machine that will make Cloris Leachman look 100% young again.
Oh, yeah.
And then it malfunctions because of what Sharon Stone does, like while with Channing Tatum in a very intimate way.
Right. Yes.
There's stuff like that.
And then in the end, he either has to wind up with both of them, or another man comes along. Because we can't just have only one of them wind up with a man, unless the other one dies. But then that's sad. That's not a romantic comedy ending.
Right.
I think he winds up with both of them. They decide for the betterment of the species, we're both going to be with this man.
All right.
Or it turns out that he is sterile anyway, and it doesn't matter. And then an asteroid hits the Earth, and they all die.
Everybody's going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or...
that is romantic.
We can work out the details, but I like playing pranks on each other, futuristic pranks. Mother and daughter.
Yeah, it can be a low-budget sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't have to be, yeah. We don't need no space battles here.
No, we don't need space battles.
No.
Although I worry if it's low-budget, they will not be able to afford Channing Tatum.
That's where all the money is going.
All the money is going down his pants?
Yep.
All right.
He can produce it and stuff, so he'll get it in the back end.
That's true. He gets paid entirely in $1 bills. I don't know if you knew that. It's in his contract.
Eric, the movie's a fantasy. How many times do you see the guys picking up the dollar bills?
Never. I see
it's a fantasy.
I see money everywhere littering the stage. Really, it's a hazard because they're dancing. You're going to slip on that money. Like dancing around like a bunch of fallen leaves on the sidewalk or something.
One of them is like lowered to the ground and then like women just start devouring him like he's like they're zombies.
Yeah.
And he's fresh meat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's that moment, too.
Anyway, so yeah, there we go. It's a futuristic sci-fi dystopian romantic comedy called...
The Last Seed.
Cougars on the Prowl.
Ugh.
The Last Cougars. They are the last... If he's the last man on Earth, are they the last women on Earth, or are there other women? They can't be the last three people on Earth.
Well, I know, because otherwise we got a lot of incest. Be happening in the future.
Yeah, but then if they're not the last three people, then there would be other women also trying to get this man if he's the last man.
Ooh.
What?
So maybe there's more women.
Oh, and in the end, neither of them wind up with him?
No, and Sharon Stone and Cloris Leachman eventually realize instead of fighting together or fighting against each other and these other women, why don't we slowly kill these other women? And then get him all to herself.
Oh, okay.
And that's a dark turn. Where the romance comes in. Because what they eventually realize is love conquers all.
Oh, the real last man on Earth was love. Very nice.
There we go.
Okay, that's how you play Pitch Me.
Yeah, that's a show.
There you go. Film that one, put it in theaters. Make him $100 million.
Before Cloris dies, please.
Yeah, that clock is ticking. Do you think she ever gets jealous that Betty White is the one that we decided to fetishize? Because they're exactly the same otherwise. And it's just like, ah, if it had just, in the alternate timeline, I'm the one that everybody loves, not Betty White.
Yeah.
But Cloris Leachman was nominated for an Oscar. Betty White never was.
So there's that.
Yeah, she got that to make herself feel better. What movie was she just in, Cloris Leachman, where all they did was set her on fire? That was the only thing, only reason she was in the movie was to be set on fire.
Oh.
It was
that in the woods, too? She was the grandma, and then there was set on fire in the woods?
Into the woods?
No. In the wood, like, was it, did that fire thing take place in the woods?
No, I think she was at a dinner table with a family, and it was, hang on, I'll find it here. It was something we just saw. The Wedding Ringer, the Kevin Hart.
Yeah,
that's right. Anyway, that brings us to the close of our program. Mm-hmm. The Terminator, that Terminator movie that we saw, we didn't care for. You'll back me up on that one.
Yeah. But
Magic,
I won't back you up on this one.
Magic Mike XXL, we part ways.
Yeah.
I found it largely unengaging and listless. And
did you give it a C-? Is that correct?
Just a C.
Yeah. So could be our biggest disagreement of the year, and we are, in my system, 2 points away from each other.
Yeah, I was surprised you only gave it a 7.
It was a little long... And again, I disliked Jada Pinkett Smith. Disliked. It's not even like there was nothing about that I enjoyed at all. Mm.
So we part ways there. And question of the week, tell us the animated character you'd like to see get its own spin-off film in honor of
Dominion. Would you ladies mind if I called all of you queens? Would you mind?
Spoiler alert, they do not mind. Not at all. There you go. That's it. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.